All right, joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line is Hudson Mason. He's a favorite of the show. He is a college football analyst for the Sports Map Radio Network, a member of the SEC Network, and a host on 680 AM in Atlanta. Hudson, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
So the last time I saw you,
this is good.
I think you were doing the Harlem Shuffle at a little poolside bar.
With your bride.
With his bride, yes. It was all legit. Carla was there, but I was trying to get you to join in, and you did not join.
Oh, I couldn't hold a candle to Hudson for sure. He was looking good. He was looking good. You had the pool. Yeah, you had the people around the pools giving you a standing ovation.
Yeah, I think the highlight of the night was the, if my memory serves me correctly, the restaurant allowed you to throw plates and break them, and I think they called it Opa or something like that. I never have partaken in that tradition. That was a first, and it was fun.
Well, a great night it was. Let's talk some college football. I want to ask you about the plans for expanding the playoffs. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I like it, guys. I mean, I'm sure there will be some unintended consequences with, you know, decisions like this that come down the road, some that we may not even be able to foresee right now or predict. But I think overwhelmingly the move to 12 teams is a positive one. I was a bit surprised that they jumped from 4 to 12. I thought it was going to be more like 8. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's always money involved, dollar signs, probably a bit of greed, if I'm being honest, in decisions like this. I'm not surprised in the sense that it's coming maybe as soon as 2023. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk in predicting this. But I think the country as a whole, college football, got tired of kind of the same three teams in the college football playoff. And, you know, you could sit here right now and I could tell you that most likely next year and the year after that and 4 or 5 years down the road, it's going to be Ohio State and Clemson and Alabama. And so I think it kind of breaks up the monotony of those teams. And it gives an opportunity to, you know, some of the group of five teams, the UCFs, the Cincinnati, to get in there and have a slice of the pie and kind of show the world that they belong.
I agree with you, Hudson, and I love how they're calling that the 12 teams would be the six highest-ranked conference champions plus the six remaining highest-ranked teams. And I love what they're doing with Notre Dame. It's like, hey, you cannot have a first-round bye if you don't play in a conference championship. I think that's really fair. And I hear the criticism of, does this devalue the regular season? I'd love to hear your thoughts, Hudson, because to me, I think this enhances the regular season. It brings in so many more fan bases. I do worry that it may devalue the bowl games, you know, and that season. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't think it devalues the regular season by any means. I mean, we see this format in all of college sports. We see it at the FCS level in football. We see it at the NFL level, this playoff format. And I don't think you can make the case that, you know, the regular season doesn't matter in the NFL. The regular season doesn't matter in, you know, D1AA college football. So I don't think it'll devalue it. In fact, I think kind of the opposite. I think this, you know, other pandemic we've seen going on in college football where guys opt out of bowl games and they quit, mm-hmm. you know, as soon as, I mean, even as of last year, you know, there were kids quitting, and I say quitting because I kind of genuinely believe that that's what it was. Using, you know, COVID as an excuse in the middle of the season and saying that they were opting out. Well, you opt out at the beginning of the year. If you, you know, air quote, opt out in the middle of the year, that's called quitting. So, right. You know, for me, you know, I think this incentivizes players to stick through it and continue to play throughout the year. You know, if you're one of those teams that barely gets into the 12-team, you know, playoff, well, you know, you may have been a team in the previous format of four teams. You may have been a team that's going to some, you know, rink-a-dink or irrelevant bowl game, and now you're opting out. So I think the exact opposite. I think it incentivizes players to continue to play.
Yeah, I do too.
We're talking to Hudson Mason. He's a former quarterback at Georgia, a member of the SEC Network. I'd love to shift gears about, to Atlanta, to the Falcons. You are, of course, hosting a radio show there in Atlanta, 6 to 8 a.m. The Falcons have really doubled down on Matt Ryan and put Kyle Pitts into that offense. They've lost Julio Jones. What's the outlook now with Matt Ryan and the offensive side of the football with the Atlanta Falcons?
Well, I think there was a grieving period for several weeks. I mean, we have been, as Atlanta sports fans, kind of prepping for the departure of Julio, you know, ever since the draft, when the rumors came out and, you know, we were told by legitimate sources that, yeah, I mean, this divorce is coming. So when it was finalized, it wasn't as, I guess, as shocking as it maybe outsiders thought it was. So, look, there was a grieving period. Julio's going to go down probably arguably as the greatest Falcon player of all time. And he's done so many great things for this organization. He's a first-class player. I mean, you know, he is the exact opposite of what most star wide receivers are, and that's divas. You know, he is not a diva. Very easy to work with, and you know, he's a quarterback's best friend both on and off the field. But I think finally Falcons fans have turned the page. They're kind of ready to put that in the rearview mirror, and they're really excited about Kyle Pitts. I mean, you know, being in Atlanta, we have, you know, this is SEC country. Obviously, you know, Florida is a huge part of the DNA of Atlanta. A lot of Florida fans, transplants from Florida here. So, you know, very familiar with what Kyle Pitts did for the Gators last year in Dan Mullen's offense. And, you know, Arthur Smith, the new head coach for the Falcons, has a long history of using tight ends in his offenses. So I think there's a lot of curiosity and probably just a lot of interest, eagerness to see how do they use him. You know, you look around the NFL right now and you look at George Kittle with San Francisco. You look at Gronk in Tampa Bay.
Darren Waller in Las Vegas.
Yeah, Darren Waller. They're like, they're not really even tight ends. They're more just like athletes. You know, you kind of pigeonhole them by just calling them tight ends. These guys are more like, they're unicorns. They're so rare. They're big, athletic, like a tight end, but they run like a receiver. So I think that's kind of the new trend of the tight end position and where ideally a lot of these teams want to go to. And I think the Falcons have a lot of upside in being able to use Kyle Pitts in that same form and fashion.
Hudson, you mentioned Arthur Smith. I'd love to ask you about Arthur. Sean McVay says he's been copying Arthur Smith's plays for years. That seems like a pretty ringing endorsement. How is the feeling in Atlanta in the fan base about Arthur Smith? How do you think about Arthur Smith, and is that going to mesh well with Matt Ryan?
Yeah, I always say the best coaches are the best thieves. So, you know, stealing plays is and doing stuff like that has been a part of football for a long time. It's a form of flattery, right? But you know, there's no doubt. People, I think it's been many years ago, but the best offensive year, probably in the past decade, two decades, was 2017 with Kyle Shanahan. Was the Super Bowl run for the Falcons, MVP season for Matt Ryan. And it's not to say that Arthur Smith is going to be able to come in and replicate and duplicate that, but he does kind of come from the same tree as Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, the LaFleur. So I think, in you know, they need to get back to running the ball. Matt Ryan's 36 years old. He cannot live and die by dropping back and chucking the ball around 40 times. You know, everybody talks about Russell Wilson getting hit so much. Well, Matt Ryan, since 2018, is right there with Russell Wilson with being, you know, most times sacked in the NFL in 3 years. So they got to protect him better, but also protecting him better means running the ball better. There's no Derrick Henry. You know, don't misconstrue that on this Falcons team. So I just think the Falcons fans are really eager to kind of move past the Dan Quinn era. It got to a point where the message got really tired. There was a lot of cliche kind of isms and not a lot of accountability. And then got to a point, too, where the team, I just think, kind of got to the fourth quarter and didn't know how to win. So Falcons fans super excited about the new regime.
Speaking of new regime, Hudson, so y'all had Steve Sarkisian in Atlanta as your OC for a couple of years. He's now been tagged as the new head coach in Austin for the UT Longhorns. How did you feel about him in Atlanta, and do you think this is going to translate well in Austin? You know, it's a tough place to play. He's got to answer to a lot of billionaires on a regular basis. There's not a lot of autonomy at Texas. How do you think this is going to go? He's 46-35 in his career as a college head coach. And I don't know how you feel about how he did in Atlanta. I'd love to get your thoughts.
Well, speaking on what he did in Atlanta, you know, he got let go or he was fired. So on the surface, people go, well, that must mean that he didn't do a very good job. That's not the case at all. You know, I was working in sports talk radio at the time when he got let go with the Falcons, and I thought it was a bad decision. He had some good offenses with the Falcons, and, you know, unfortunately, it was kind of just the nature of the business when, you know, you don't win as many games. They're always looking for a scapegoat or somebody to point the finger on. So he ended up being that guy. But if you actually break down the numbers offensively, you know, they were one of the top offenses in the NFL. So he goes to Alabama, and obviously, anybody can win at Alabama.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of it, you know, Alabama is a well-oiled machine, and so it's hard to, I guess, try to connect the dots and say, well, just because you did X at Alabama, does that mean that you're going to accomplish Y at somewhere else? No, I don't believe that's the case. I do believe he's a great offensive mind. But I mean, what he did at Alabama last year may never be replicated. I mean, that was arguably the greatest offense in college football history. So, you know, Texas is one of the best jobs in college football, but it's also, you know, one of the most difficult jobs because, to your point, you know, you're dealing with, you know, a lot of chefs in the kitchen. There's a lot of egos. There's a lot of big money boosters. And, you know, really since Colt McCoy left, I know they just had Sam Ehlinger, a really good quarterback, but, you know, outside of Ehlinger, you'd probably have to go back to, what, 2009 mm-hmm. with Colt McCoy, the last time they've had, like, legit stability at the quarterback position. So I know that'll be a big piece, but, you know, I'm excited to see Steve. I think his story in general is a great one, a story of redemption, you know, overcoming alcoholism and stuff like that, getting another opportunity to be a head coach. So the story is one in itself to easily root for.
And he's got the fourth toughest schedule in the FBS coming into 2021, so he's going to have his stuff together. So, redemption, here we come.
Yeah.
Yeah, Longhorns always have high expectations, Longhorn fans do. Hudson, I've got 30 seconds remaining. What's the ceiling on Spencer Rattler, the quarterback at Oklahoma?
I think the ceiling is Heisman, you know, top five NFL pick. I mean, much like Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, you know, those guys playing in that offense, you know, you're going to put up big numbers. So, you know, he's an exciting product to watch, and he's going to be able to put up big numbers, no doubt, with Lincoln Riley. So I think the ceiling is absolutely what some of the other guys have accomplished before him.
Yeah, it's amazing to see what Lincoln Riley has done. He's really turned Oklahoma into quarterback U, which is a great thing for recruiting in that program and really sets them apart in the Big 12 right now.
Right, no doubt.
Well, that's Hudson Mason. Hudson, really appreciate your joining us. Great to have you here on the Boston The Gloss. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.